All right, so doing some attendance here real quick. We've got Chair Jennifer Campbell is here. Alder Yu Gehr is here. Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, I don't see yet. Alder Conklin is here. Angela Jones is here. Tiffany Malone, I do not see. Tiffany was not available. And Dina Nina actually was also not available. Megan Miller, I see, is here, and Matt Fair is here. That concludes the attendance.
Great, Ben. Thank you. I love the two sets of headphones situation you have going on. That was impressive. Next order of business, please, is approval of the minutes from the September 12th meeting. I would take a motion. I got a motion by Matt, a second by Alder Uguer. Any discussion? Seeing none, unanimous consent, all in favor. Any oppositions, you know what to do. Seeing none, the minutes are passed. Fantastic. We got a lot of things going on tonight, so we're going to move through. Public comment. Ben, do we have anybody here registered for public comment?
We don't have anyone registered for public comment. There are a few people
You might
registered
be
for item
checking.
four,
Yes, yes.
available to answer questions, which Matt will read when he gets to that section.
Perfect. Thanks, Lynette. Disclosures and recusals. Anybody have anything to let us know about before we get into it? Seeing none. Fantastic. Moving right along. First order of new business, item number two. We are talking about amending the lease for the Salvation Army for the family shelter. May I have a motion to get it on the table? Motion for Megan, second for Matt. Great. Lynette, please.
All right, so just a brief summary. This is kind of a admin feature of
No, I wasn't because
approving
I've.
the lease. So I do have a Lance from our real estate office that if anyone has technical questions regarding the lease, that Lance can answer those as well. But ultimately, just a reminder, during the pandemic, the Community Development Division worked with our city real estate office and our engineering department to purchase a nursing home that is on Milwaukee Street. That nursing home had been closed a few years prior to the pandemic. So we purchased it and we refitted it and rezoned it so that Salvation Army could then house their family shelter in that location. So we initially did a lease with Salvation Army, thinking that this was just pandemic response and it would just be a couple years that they would be using this space. However, it actually has been a great resource for them. Moving the families to this location, they one have been able to go 24/7. So the family shelter no longer is just an overnight facility. So they have been able to offer those case management services during the day. And they have been able to serve about 35 families at that location at any given time. And so, in talking with Salvation Army, we have decided to continue to allow them to use that space. Ideally, they will use that space until they redevelop their location that is on East Washington. They received land use approvals again prior to the pandemic to redo both the single women and family shelter at East Washington. They are still in their kind of capital campaign for that effort. So we anticipate that they will be at the Milwaukee Street area for at least another 5 years or so. So at this point, we've extended the lease, anticipating that they'll be there until at least maybe 2028, which I can't believe I'm already talking about, like almost 2030. Time flies back by really fast. This is authorizing that lease amendment to be signed by the city and then negotiating that with Salvation Army.
Great, thank you. Questions or comments from committee members? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second on the table. So we have Discussion? None here. We'll do another unanimous consent. If anybody objects, please make yourself seen. Great. It's passed unanimously. We will move along to item number three, a loan for Rise, Wisconsin, which John will talk to us about. If we can get a motion, please. Megan, second by Matt. Great. John.
Awesome, thanks. So this is re in regards to our community facilities loan program. So just a little background on that. Our community facilities loan program is very popular with our nonprofit agencies that provide programming or services to households who are low to moderate income. And one such agency is Rise Wisconsin, who applied for an improvement loan specifically to replace their roof and two HVAC units that are impacting their respite childcare center on the east side of Madison. So the loan is up to $125,000, which will be given as a long-term deferred loan, repayable if they ever change use or sell their property. So I will be happy to answer any other questions or get into the weeds if you'd like.
Great, thanks, John. Any questions or comments from the committee? Matt?
Not necessarily a question, particularly this loan, but I just generally can you just give a quick update on the status of this program and this fund pot of money and like where we're at with it in 2024?
So we are, ooh, let's see. Sorry, let me pull this up so I can give you a good answer. Oops. All right, we have just received an application this week for just under $100,000, but currently we have a little over about $600,000 remaining. But consistently, I'm being reached out to from many different organizations in the community about this program. The CFL program is supposed to be, gap financing, shovel-ready projects. So a lot of projects have a lot of things to take care of before they can come in with an application to us. So there's a lot of need out there. A lot of organizations are interested, but that is what we have right now. Hopefully that answered your question.
So this is what it like how many I can't I mean they've come before us. I just don't remember like how many loans this year have we get is this like the third or fourth, second, third?
So this is technically our fourth.
Okay.
However, two of them were a refinance. So either they had some additional work that needed to be done, so we refinanced their loan from 2023. And we just received an application, the fourth. They had a roof repair that turned into a roof replacement. And you can imagine that's very expensive. So they came in for additional funds.
Great. Sounds like the program is popular and useful. So, thank
Yes.
you.
Yep.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we have the motion and the second on. We've had discussion. We'll take our vote by sad faces or thumbs downs. Seeing none, it is approved. Thanks, John. Next step. We are talking, Matt is talking to us about allocating affordable housing funds and city funds for housing developments for presentations. When do we see those? In August? Okay, great. Let's have a motion on the table, please. Angie, seconded by Matt. Thank you very much. Other Matt, please take us away.
Thank you, Chair. Good to see y'all. So this RFP has been in front of this committee several times over the past year. The RFP draft was in front of the committee in March, where we had a pretty good discussion, a presentation on really what the goals are of this RFP, the objectives, the requirements that we look for as a city. All in all, though, I know that you are all intimately familiar with our tax credit RFP process, which happens every year. This is one that takes place every 2 years, just as a reminder on that. So this is the third year that we have made available city affordable housing funds as part of this RFP process. As opposed to traditionally just using home investment partnership funds, really focused on trying to create more alternative development types, alternative types of affordable housing within the city. That's new construction, acquisition and rehab, and also preservation of existing income and rent restricted affordable housing opportunities. So that full draft was in front of the committee in March. The RFP was released in April. And as you said, Chair, presentations were in front of this committee in August. There were six presenters who submitted proposals. And I think the meeting took a handful of hours, but the committee got several good questions in that were addressed. The proposals were also reviewed by an interdisciplinary staff team consisting of members of the Community Development Division, the Planning Division, and CDA Redevelopment. And since the presentation, staff have had several follow-up conversations with applicants. So ultimately, on tonight's agenda, there is a resolution for discussion and consideration that includes potential approvals for four different proposals. Those proposals contained within the memo and within the resolution itself are for the proposals from Catalyst for Change, Sunnyside, and Red Pine Co-op. For Republic and also for Hispanic Housing. The one thing that I would say is you may recall within this RFP, we made available 1.5 million of affordable housing funds, 3 million in home investment partnership funds, and then up to 3 million in TID 51 funds, which were used for the TID 51 project plan. Specifically, CDD has some funding available within there to support preservation and construction of affordable housing opportunities within South Madison. If you're like me, you might say the math isn't quite mathing for the 1.5 million. As the committee knows, recently, a couple of months ago, there were some funds previously awarded through our affordable housing fund process, specifically the tax credit process, that were subsequently returned or decommitted. And we saw with such a competitive process this time around that we haven't really seen before, the opportunity to utilize some of those funds in this process to continue to support the city's focus on the smaller scale alternative development types. So that's one of the reasons you'll see that the 1.5 in affordable housing funds, there's actually a little bit more in recommendations for award within the resolution. I think I would leave it there probably for committee discussion. We do have several folks, as Lynette said, that are available here to answer questions. Let me just refresh the report quick so I can name them so y'all know who to talk to if there are questions for registrants. So we have Laura from Hispanic Housing Development Corporation. We have registered Michael Moody from Catalyst for Change. We have Morgan and looks like Colin as well from Republic. And then Abby, Paul, and Elliot are registered for Sunnyside and Red Pine.
Great, thanks for that, Matt. Committee, questions and comments on the recommendations? Angie.
So not necessarily a comment to the folks who are being recommended for funding, more so, I believe there were like six applications that came through and four of them are receiving funding. Will the other two have opportunity to reapply for funding at a later time, or what's the status of those other two applications that were in?
That's a really good question. So, one of the presentations that you all saw, proposals that you all read, was from Cava Ball LLC. That was for acquisition, rehabilitation of an apartment on Johnson Street. So, one of the things that we looked at as a staff team as part of these recommendations is the amount of funding that we have available and the financial feasibility, really, of being able to move forward with specific proposals. That proposal was a significant financial ask of the city. So, as a staff team, sort of the comparative analysis of benefits within each of the proposals, That one was a little bit less competitive as a staff team to move forward with recommendations of funding as well as financing that we have available as a city. No affordable housing is such a desperate need, but can only do so much at any given time. We've had conversations with CABA. Like I said, we've had several follow-up conversations with all of the applicants since the presentations. And CABA certainly could come back in for funding at a later date. Is currently working with CDD on other development projects. Right now, just broke ground on home ownership within Owl Creek opportunities. Will be eligible to come back in for funding, just not as part of this proposal RFP process. The other proposal that the committee did see was Madison Development Corporation, which had a proposal for what was called the Bankston Apartments, just off of South Park Street. That proposal, after a lot of internal staff discussion, it doesn't have as much staff support just due to a couple unique aspects of the proposal. One is we do have requirements for a tenant selection plan as part of our RFP process. That the committee has heard several times, is well aware of. They were within their application indicated their unwillingness to follow the tenant selection plan requirements at this time from the city, though are willing to continuing and having that discussion in the future. They've been a great partner for us over the years, and will continue to be. There's just, I think, a couple more discussions that need to be had. The other consideration with that one was, as was probably made aware through the supplemental application questions, is the city's planning division went through a really extensive planning process in South Madison, the South Madison Plan. And the focus of that plan was really on anti-gentrification and anti-displacement measures. Along with that, one of the focuses was on home ownership, but especially home ownership for existing single-family homes. That's an area of the city where if memory serves, only 23% of the housing stock is single family homes. And just with some of the considerations of the demolition of existing single family stock to move forward with rental or eventually potentially smaller unit, maybe conversion to home ownership opportunities one day, just the difference between the ability to serve potential home ownership for large families, with some of those homes being up to 5 bedrooms. It didn't quite make sense with the adopted city plan. So, are still in conversations with them and anticipate we will work with them in the future. But that site did not receive a staff recommendation for support.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Angie, and thanks, Matt. And when it comes to the tenant selection plan, as we see RFPs in the future, I think at this committee thinking about either it's our policy or it's not, right? Rather than having, we've had this instance where one-off applicant has asked for accommodation on it. But I think if we want to have a conversation at the committee level about whether it's the right policy, then let's talk about it. But once we have an RFP out where we state that that's a requirement, I think it's right that staff holds that line. Great. Any other questions or comments from committee? Seeing none, we have a motion. We have a second. We have discussion. We have recommendation for 4 properties to be funded. All in favor? Yay. Any opposed? Seeing no signs of dissatisfaction, we will approve it. Thank you. Congratulations to all the folks on the call. We look forward to seeing how your developments progress. Gosh, we're going to get out of here in record. You guys, we are making quick work. Item number 5, Lynette is going to regale us with talk of awarding CDBG funds under the Capital Improvements for Nonprofit Housing Program. That's a mouthful. Can we please have a motion? Thank you, Matt. A second to get it on the floor. Thank you, Megan. We have our motion, our second. It is on the floor.
All right. Just a reminder of what the capital improvements for nonprofit housing. So last year we came to the committee and talked about how we had a lot of feedback from our nonprofit housing providers in the fact that, they were still dealing with a lot of deferred maintenance during the pandemic. They were not able to access some of their units. A lot of our nonprofits who are housing lower income individuals had to kind of like write off some of the rents that wasn't being collected during that time. All in all, our nonprofit providers were doing everything that they possibly could during the pandemic to ensure our low to moderate income renters that they support, you know, maintain their housing. So we had some additional CDBG funds that we needed to spend down. So we decided to develop the capital improvement program with the committee. We did the program in 2023, and it was very successful. We offered funding to a variety of our nonprofits. We then heard feedback that a lot of our nonprofits, because that money went so fast, didn't get to take advantage of it. So we did launch the program. It was in our action plan to do again in 2024. So we did release the application with similar guidelines that we did for the 2023 application. We are looking for housing developments that are owned by nonprofits. They are housing developments that are serving at least 51% of the households are low to moderate income, and that they have a registration in FAM.gov, which is the federal kind of website database in which anyone that receives federal funding has to be registered with a unique ID. Part of that is a requirement because we do want to, again, get these funds encumbered into contracts as soon as possible. So we wanted to make sure those were the eligibility requirements for all of the entities. So in the first batch of applications that we received that were due September 15th, we did receive four applications. Overall, you know, these are asking for rehab in a variety of different kind of needs. Some of them are about replacing just appliances and increasing energy efficiency. Some of it is exterior work of working on fixing parking lots and driveways, enclosing dumpsters. And then we have some requests to just improve like kitchen space and bathrooms. So really it's all about like updating housing quality. I will say though, since we have had the resolution introduced and I've had a chance to thoroughly look at the applications, we did have a staff review that was in error in the fact that CareNet does not have a registration in SAM, which means that they should have been deemed ineligible at the time that we received the application. So we have created a memo to make sure individuals know that technically upon staff review, when we got that application, we should have deemed that an ineligible application. So as of right now, the funding request does include all four, but we do need to address that. And then the other thing that I will mention before I let you guys ask me questions and discuss. So we have $2 million available for this program. We had $2 million last year. We have $2 million this year. The next set of applications are due October 15th. So we will be bringing at our November CDBG committee, you will see a very similar resolution for the new applicants. And we anticipate that with those new applications, we'll probably see majority of those funds being used.
Great. Thanks for that overview, Lynette. Matt.
Actually, just a question for Lynette. So I should know the answer to this question too, but do those funds, if we don't use all the $2 million, those funds can roll over to 2025's budget? I mean, they'll be in
the funds do, our federal funds do roll over. So if we end up not using the full $2 million in this project, just a reminder, in next year, we are doing our owner-occupied RFP. Our owner-occupied RFP is another place where we heavily subsidize rehab work with CDBG funds. So we either can roll over those funds and do this program again in 2025, pending how much CDBG funds we need for that owner-occupied RFP. In that RFP, that is where we fund like a project home to do rehab work for single family. And we fund Habitat and the Land Trust and Project Home as well to do smaller maintenance as well. So the funds do roll over. And then when we start talking about our 2025 action plan, that's what we'll discuss. What is our priority for those CDBG funds moving forward?
Thanks for that. Thanks, Matt. Angie.
My apology if this was addressed at a meeting that I was not able to be at, but for the applications that are hope well that are before us tonight, I shouldn't say approved because that we haven't gone through that yet. But the applications that are before us tonight, are you looking to give them the total amount that they've asked for? Because I noticed that CareNet was like $488,000, and some others were of course smaller than that. Are they getting that full amount, or what is the actual recommendation?
Yeah, so for this process, it is not a request for proposals. It was application based. So it is first come, first served as we get the applications. And as long as the activity is CDBG eligible, so there are some things that we have gotten requests in applications that we cannot pay for with CDBG funds. For instance, CDBG funds, you cannot pay for blinds. Why? I don't know, but it's written in the regs that you cannot pay for blinds.
Okay.
So staff have gone through and that we spent a lot of time just making sure that they were CDBG eligible activities. So yes, if they requested the amount, we would just take off if it's an ineligible activity.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrew. Matt?
So I'd like to make an amendment to this motion based on the memo from Lynette and what we just heard from her to eliminate the funding for CareNet based on the fact that they are not registered in this in the system, the SAM system. So yes, that would be my amendment. I would look for a second.
Okay, we have a second. Audio Gear, we have a second. Angie, we have a third. I mean, I guess we don't need that. Any discussion on the motion to amend the motion? Ugh. Seeing none, we shall approve it. Great, there's no dissension. So now we have approved the amendment to the motion, and now we have to approve the motion as amended, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so the motion as amended is now before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, seeing no signals of dissatisfaction, we shall approve the motion as amended. The end. I think that's the show there. Eventually I'll learn Robert's rules, but maybe not. I mean, don't hold your breath. Okay. That's item number five. Next up is item number six, which Lynette will take. It is approving housing recommendations from the Housing Strategy Committee. So it says approve, so I assume we're taking a vote on this. Motion, please. From Angie, a second from Alder Uguer. Fantastic. Lynette.
All right. So at the end of 2023, it was, I believe. Our Common Council passed a resolution asking that our Housing Strategy Committee really focus on kind of three topics. How is the city creating more ownership housing types? How can the city scale up our development for new affordable renting rentals? And then also, what can the city do to support more affordable student housing? So those three questions came to the Housing Strategy Committee. The Housing Strategy Committee created subgroups. We actually created a rental subgroup, an owner-occupied subgroup, and partnering with DMI to actually create a private subgroup. DMI created a student subgroup, which brought in the university and some students and so forth. So those subgroups took on those topics. There were a lot of committee meetings. We were meeting 3 to 4 times a month, at 8 a.m. as well, which everyone on this committee knows. I'm not a morning person, so those were a lot of fun. But it was actually a really great opportunity for that committee to bring in experts in different areas. So we had lots of panels to talk about just kind of, you know, the impacts of the private market that has on housing. You know, what can the city do versus, you know, what is actually, you know, without, you know, out of our control and within the private market. And based off of all of that feedback that we got from those experts coming in on all of those various topics, the Housing Strategy Committee then created new recommendations for the city to consider as we move forward with our housing strategies. As we brought those recommendations together, we wanted to make sure that we put also a status on them. I think what we heard a lot as staff and through the Housing Strategy Committee is the city has been doing a lot through our planning department and zoning and our plan commission, through this committee and the funding that we provide to you know, various types of developments. We are, you know, we have been, you know, moving forward in trying to be creative and change some of our strategies. So in the report, once you get to about page 7, that is when we start talking about and highlighting some of the recommendations that Housing Strategy Committee has proposed. Staff went through and kind of updated the status of here are some of the things that are ongoing. We are saying, yep, we agree. We are currently in our work plan. We are, you know, focused on those things. We did then say, here are some status of some new things that we are, as staff, willing to consider, develop in our work plan, figure out how to move forward. From this, once this housing report gets feedback from this committee, it did already go to Plan Commission. Plan Commission approved it with a recommendation that one additional thing be added, and I'll read the additional strategy. Plan Commission has asked us to add explore tools to curb the net loss of units as a result of new single family home construction or replacements. So that is one of the things that Plan Commission has added, asked us to add as a strategy for staff to explore. But ultimately, your feedback will go back to Housing Strategy Committee saying, yep, you're on the right path, or anything that you want us to look at through that. Once they pass that, staff will start working on another update to our kind of housing policies and our strategies and our work plans for what we'll be doing the next few years. This coincides with the fact that this housing report will get approved in the next few months. In also the next few months, you as a committee will be reviewing soon our updated analysis of impediments to fair housing. That is also another very large report that has very focused housing strategies in it as well. So we want to align this report also with kind of thinking about what is the impediments to housing and fair housing as well. So we'll be discussing a lot about strategies in the next few months as we look at this report and then the future analysis of impediments to fair housing. Overall, this was something that a lot of hours spent by our Housing Strategy Committee. So a thank you to those that are on the Housing Strategy Committee that developed this report.
Great. Thanks, Lynette. Questions from the committee? Angie.
Sorry, guys. I was reading through the strategies, and it really does seem to, like some really good suggestions. But I also saw quite a bit of alignment with what was coming out from the regional housing strategy solutions as well, and recommendations from that. Am I reading that right, that there is a lot, quite a bit of synergy between those two reports?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we're working in alignment with Dane County and also just, you know, sometimes even with our funding, trying to make sure we're aligning even our funding. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I was just make wanting to make sure I wasn't having like a deja vu moment or anything. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Angie. Megan?
I'm sorry, I missed this in the agenda. I should have disclosed earlier, just as a UW employee, that there might be a conflict here. So I'll sit this discussion out.
Do we still have then have you're not recusing, or do I have a quorum issue? Anybody? No, Matt says no. I trust him with my life.
Actually, I shook my head early on that. So, because how many people do we have? Five?
We have five. Yeah.
Alder
I think.
Conklin is still on the call.
Have six.
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
Alder
okay. Then
Conklin's
we're
still
good.
here. Great. Thanks. Do you have comments, Matt?
Actually, I think I do, but it's dangerous because I haven't totally formed it in my head. So, I just assuming we're not going to, it looks like we're not going to have a lot of discussion about this report, and that's fine. I actually didn't look at it much until before the meeting. And to Angie's point about the Dane County housing report, I'm just wondering if, again, this is not a full developed thought, but if this committee maybe, could have like a session or something, like at a meeting, and take those two aside, maybe truly do some homework. And have like a ask questions, maybe have, I don't know, have people in, maybe someone from the county, Lynette and somebody else from the city to like just really kind of get to know these two reports a little bit better, I think. I don't know. I guess I'm thinking selfishly for me that would help, but I'm guessing it would maybe be good for the committee.
Yeah, I don't disagree because as I was reading this, I was like, I don't know like if I feel ready to say yes, I agree with these because I don't feel like I know them very well. And I also feel like it's asking staff to do like a lot more, and I'm wondering about capacity. So
I'm
maybe
not.
Lynette, if you want to take Matt and Mai's comments together.
So yeah, we can come back. I think especially again, since you're about to also have the analysis of impediments, the Fair Housing Report in front of you as well, which Dane County has to do the analysis of impediments report. This is another place where we try to jointly talk about what our strategies are and how we're moving forward. We can absolutely have a session where we bring Dane County in and kind of talk about here's where we have similar kind of overlap in moving things forward and in more detail what those things mean for the city, the county, and this committee as well for our funding. We can do an in-depth thing. This will go back to Housing Strategy Committee at their October meeting. That is the goal, that it would go to back to Housing Strategy in October, and then a final approval by Council October 29th. Just let you know where this is going, next steps.
So is that to say that we need to act on this today?
I mean, we can refer it again if you guys want to. You guys can make the vote to refer it again.
But yeah, Matt.
So I wasn't suggesting that at all. I mean, I think as far as process, let's just keep it going. I mean, but I was just more like it would be good for the committee maybe to have a, it might be good for the community to do something like this once a year anyways. And I'd be happy to like work with you, Jennifer, if you wanted to think about a format for that. And I'd be happy to like brainstorm with you at that offline to prepare for a meeting. But anyway, it was just again not a full developed thought, but just something I want to throw out
And
there.
well, to that point, we do still have to have our public hearing meeting, which is an in-person meeting. And I feel, and this is what we did with Housing Strategy Committee, especially when we were working on this report, that engagement, especially when you're talking about strategies, sometimes it's better in an in-person setting, so that we can engage and ask questions, in a non-virtual raise hand kind of way. So we could plan for the we're planning to have maybe the public hearing at our December meeting. So we could plan for whenever our next meeting is, that is the in-person meeting, to have some type of session and bring Dane County in as well, so that we can talk in more detail and in person where it's easier.
Mm-hmm. Great. Angie?
I would just recommend that, and also as part of the committee becoming a little bit more aware of what is also in that regional housing strategy document, that maybe the link to that executive summary could be sent out to everybody so that we could take a look at it ahead of time. I was part of that, and so I might skip the meeting where you're going through both of those.
Unless, of course, we need quorum. We can show up for that part.
Can you, like, text me when it's time to vote? Sorry, I'm being sassy.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay, good. I think it's a good conversation about kind of digging into some things. Lynette, if we approve this, it goes to council. And later, as we dig in, we're like, oh, that recommendation was based on these, and like maybe that's not a great fit. What is the effect of approving these recommendations?
So I mean, the effect of approving these is really, you know, going back to the housing strategy to say, yep, like these were good into council. I mean, staff then are now going to embed these into our work plans if it is something that is new. Mm-hmm. But you'll see that there is also, you know, a lot of language sometimes that says like explore. So while these are strategies that are in here, you know, staff will go through and look at, can we, like the explore is to that, do we actually have the staff capacity to do this? Are there other barriers of why we can't do this? Mm-hmm. Or do we think we can do it? So that's the kind of the next step is staff will start embedding these into our work plans and seeing where we have staff capacity to move some of these forward, and then reporting back out. So the Housing Strategy Committee is actually dissolving. So the Housing Strategy Committee and the Landlord and Tenant Issues Committee are now merging into one committee, and we are now going to have what's called the Housing Policy Committee. And as we are staffing that Housing Policy Committee, it is, first of all, much bigger than me, just staffing the Housing Strategy Committee. The Housing Policy Committee will be more about our whole Department of Planning, Community, and Economic Development supporting that. And it's going to be kind of a clearinghouse for us to kind of spend more time with, hey, this report was written and these strategies are in here. How are we meeting those goals? What have we done? You know, when we first even created like the City of Madison's Housing Forward, we noticed that the city had over, you know, 7 to 8 different housing related reports with all different types of recommendations. And we are trying to do a better job of, yes, we wrote a report and here's the recommendations, and like reporting back out to our committees, to the public. And this is what we did with those things. This is how that strategy actually helped us. We now have more public information officers, so like more people that can help us kind of create those messages and share those messages. So we are starting to work on how we can take these reports and report back out. And that Housing Policy Committee could be, we're thinking, is going to be a great resource to help us do that and kind of be that place where we can have those conversations.
Great. Thanks for that. Alder Uguer?
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I should have even disclosed earlier that I was at a lot of those early morning meetings with Lynette. And I would say that if she is not a morning person, I hate to see her too much later in the evening, because she kept us quite busy. At any rate, I just thought, you know, I almost look at the output of that long effort this past year to be somewhat more like one of our area plans or even the comprehensive plan. It's a long-term blueprint. There isn't, you know, a list of let's bring this particular ordinance change resolution forward tomorrow or next week or next month. But it does create a lot of those opportunities to explore particular areas. Yeah, and as Lynette said, we also identified a lot of things that are really already happening, and that we needed to emphasize that they were already happening, that people might not have been aware that we were already working on those. But I think there were a number of useful areas in there that will help inform some of these future investigations and analyses that Lynette was just talking about. So I would hope we would approve it. Let's move on.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that context.
I'll be okay if this doesn't, if we don't have a referral, that means there's going to be another 8 o'clock meeting. But
No, I think it sounds
not
like
that I
we're all
am a morning
together. We're going to
person.
move forward. Don't worry.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we have the motion. We have the second. We've discussed. We'll think about ways to get the committee here more integrated, kind of have a hashing out of like understanding various reports that influence what our CDBG folks are up to and where we fit in there. But other than that, we'll approve it unless there's any dissension. We've decided we'll not refer it. We won't cause stress on anybody. Very good. It is approved. Man, item six, we're done with business now. Jim. Jim's not here. Lynette, sad for
No,
cool.
no, no, Jim. He trusts me. I
Of
don't know
course he
why, but
does. But doesn't he miss us?
no, Jim is off doing his other job, grandpa duties. He is babysitting. So I actually have a very short staff report. I am just wanted to give an update on the budget. So the mayor released her budget, her operating budget on Tuesday. So the impacts of our CDD department. So we did have, she kind of put two options in the budget. So option A is moving forward, assuming that the referendum will pass. If the referendum does pass, we see a small change in CDD's budget. And mostly that is taking about 48,000 from our other units that supports some early child care zones and a driver's ed program, and moving that 48,000 actually into homeless services. And we are still trying to identify, that gap that we have in the men's shelter budget and ensuring that we will have future operating costs for the shelter budget. If the referendum does not pass, there is a little bit more impacts to our budget. We will see some impacts in our employment contracts. We'll see some impacts in the childcare unit when it comes to tuition assistance. And within my unit, we'll see an impact in the fact that we would no longer fund the extreme weather contract, which is a contract that we use to fund unsheltered individuals in the case of extreme weather to get into hotels. So we are just kind of now next steps, waiting to see on November 5th if the referendum passes or not, to see how we move forward with our future budget in CDD. Other than that, just a reminder that at our November meeting, you had presentations last month, very long presentations, from our Affordable Housing Fund tax credit development. So staff have now been analyzing after those presentations and making our staff recommendation. So a reminder that at November, that is where we will do the staff recommendations for the tax credit awards. So, another important meeting where we want to make sure we have quorum so that we can get those commitment letters out to those agencies so they can include them in their applications to WIDA.
And you
Okay,
said that's the
that's it.
November meeting?
That's the November
Okay.
meeting.
I think I'm unavailable for that one. So, Matt, you're on deck, but I will confirm via email on that one. Okay. Any other business? I don't see any. Great. And don't forget, we need a motion to adjourn. So please.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Alder Conklin. Seconded by Megan. And we stand adjourned. Thanks, everyone. Well, I'll see you in December, probably. Bye.